Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm beginning my fourth week of teaching on how to receive God's best. I've already covered a lot of material, and I tell you, I believe that this is changing the way that people receive from God. And I've been talking the last few days of last week about that the blessing of God is not a thing. It's not the physical assets that the blessing produces, but the blessing of God is just His spoken favor over us. When God speaks something, it's a contract. He never says anything and then backs off of it or changes. I've used a bunch of scriptures on this, but Psalms chapter 89, verse 34 says, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone forth out of my lips." When God says something, it's binding. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, "He upholds all things by the word of His power." If God ever broke His word, the universe would self-destruct. As long as we see this world and the universe still intact, that means God has never violated His word. And so when God speaks something positive over us and releases His favor, then that is a blessing. And all we've got to do is mix faith with it, and that blessing of God, this divine favor of God that's been spoken over us, will begin to come to pass. Now, this is a little hard for some people to grab hold of, because in our world today, words aren't this important. And people will say things, and then if it turns out that they don't want to follow through with it, they'll just say, "Well, I didn't mean that," or, you know, "King's X, time's out, this is, I didn't mean it." We can violate our contracts. We build loopholes into things so that we can get around it. You know, used to, if you shook hands with the person, their word was their bond, and that was better than a contract. But today, we live in a world that has discounted words. There are people that will listen to music that is saying terrible things about killing policemen and just, I mean, terrible things. Some of the lyrics of some songs that I hear when I go into a mall or different, it's just terrible things. It's depressing. And people think that, it doesn't matter. It's just a song. It's just a movie. It doesn't mean anything. It does mean something. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." And because we have discounted words, and in our estimation, they aren't that important, and we just listen to all of this stuff and have all of this noise going on in the background and don't even listen to really what's being said, and we have discounted words, we sometimes think that they don't mean anything. But the Word of God shows that they're important. And you've got to change your focus, and you've got to get to the place that when you read something in the Bible, this is God communicating through people and speaking His words. And when He speaks something positive over you and says, "This is my will for you, this is what I've provided for you," those are blessings. That's the favor of God spoken through the Word. And the only thing it takes for those blessings to start impacting your life is you to put faith in it. And sad to say, our discounting of words and disrespect for words sometimes comes into the Word, and we read things and think, "Well, you know, I wonder if God really meant that. Maybe that'll work for this person, but not for me." And we just don't trust it. But God's words are important. I just want to show you some things here in the first book of the Bible, the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. Look at how many times it talks about God saying things. It says here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, "And God said, let there be light. And boom, there was light." And if you go on through, I'm not going to take time to read this entire chapter, but if you read it, it's the third day. I think it's either the third or the fourth day before God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. There was no source for light to come from yet. And God created light, and there was light. That's awesome. You know, I can't wrap my brain around that. I don't have to. I just trust God. He created light 3 days before there was a source for it to come from. Well, that's powerful. God calls those things that be not as though they were. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And it came to pass." In verse 9, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so." You know, often we'll talk about that God reached down with His hand and scooped up this and made man or made the stars or did this. And, you know, that's kind of a poetic license. It's a figurative symbolism type of thing. Technically speaking, God didn't use His hands. He releases His power by words. He spoke and there was light. He spoke and the heavens, the firmament was created. And then it goes down in verse 11, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so." God spoke all of this plant creation into existence. In verse 14, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven." See, this is where He created all of the lights. It says, "In the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." This happened on the fourth day of creation, and yet He created light in the very beginning. And He spoke all of this into existence. Matter of fact, I just listened to a man who was talking on scientific things about creation. And I forget the exact verse. I think it was in Colossians, but it says that he, or no, it wasn't Colossians. It's in one of the Psalms, but it says that He breathed and the lights were, the stars were created. And he went from that to say that this sun that we have that burns at something millions of degrees was literally the breath of His mouth created it. Boy, that's awesome to think how awesome God is. And yet this is exactly what He's saying. He said, let there be lights. And boom, out of His mouth came the sun, the moon, the stars. All of these things came from His words. In verse 20, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly in the earth in the open heaven, open firmament of heaven." And He spoke all of these things into existence. In verse 22, "God blessed them," talking about the animal creation, saying, now this is the first time that He had ever blessed something. "And He blessed them, saying." See, this shows you that the blessing of God has to be spoken. It's not really a blessing until it's spoken. You've got to release the blessing of God by the words that you speak. That's how God releases it. And so everything, all of the positive things that God communicated in the Word are blessings. It's the spoken favor of God. He blessed them, saying. And then in verse 24, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature." And He created all of these animals by His words. In verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." And He created the man, male and female. Verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them." Again, the blessing of God is the spoken favor of God over a person. I tell you, this is powerful. I hope that you understand what I'm saying, but the blessing of God is just God's spoken favor over you. And that's what this whole Bible is about. There's not only blessings in here, there are curses in the Bible for people that rebelled at God and warnings and judgments. But the Bible says that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. And so for us New Testament believers who've allowed Jesus to take our sins and suffer our punishment, we don't get the curse, we get the blessing. And we can go through the Word and find when God spoke something positive and blessed us. Like for instance, you can just go through all of this. Man, there's no way that, you know, in a 30-minute program I can go through the entire Bible and just show you all of this. But let me just point out a few things that, like after the flood, God looked at mankind and he blessed them. And here's part of the blessing that God gave unto Noah and his sons after the flood, and he repented, and he says, I'll never destroy the earth with the flood again. Here's some of the things he said in chapter 9. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. You know, it's amazing how we just skip through this and don't understand. But when God said, you be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, did you know that that is the supernatural power of God spoken out of his mouth? And if you will believe it, this means that there doesn't have to be a single barren person among us. Some people are going to take what I'm saying and saying that if you haven't had children, that somehow or another you're sinning, God's mad at you, and I'm saying that you're a bad person. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that God has blessed us and said that we can be fruitful and multiply. And if you would mix it with faith and believe, you can have children regardless of whether it is normal or not. You know, Abraham and Sarah had trouble having children, but they stood in the blessing of God, and eventually they had a child when Abraham was 100 years old. And then his son Isaac had trouble having children. He was 40 when he got, or six, let's see, I may have messed that up, but I think he was 40 when he got married, and it was 20 years later when he was 60 that Rebekah finally conceived and had children. And you can go on through, and in the book of Deuteronomy, the blessing is even further established. And the Lord said in Deuteronomy chapter 7 that there will not be any barren among you or any that cast their young. That's a blessing. That is God's goodness spoken out of his mouth. And once he speaks it, he'll never change it. It's available to everybody. Does that mean that every Christian, that there has never been a miscarriage, that there's never a Christian couple that has never gone without having children? No, there's lots of them that have done it. But you know what? The blessing of God is that he has blessed you, and you will never be barren and you will never miscarry. And if you would just believe it and walk in that, that is available to us. It doesn't come to pass automatically. We've got to believe it. And there's some people that when I say something like that, you get upset and say, so you're condemning other people. I'm not condemning. I'm trying to raise your sights and let you realize that God's got something better. And there's a lot of people that just say, no, I would never say that if a person, you know, doesn't have children, if a person miscarries, that they are receiving less than God's best. You're making that person feel condemned. And so by you doing that, what you're doing is just dumbing everybody down to where even though God said, be fruitful and multiply, and he spoke this blessing over mankind, even though he said it, you aren't mixing faith with it. You don't believe it's for you, and that's the reason it isn't coming to pass. If you'll believe it, you can receive it. He goes on to say in Genesis chapter 9, verse 2, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. You know what this means? The fear of us and the dread of us. There is a fear that you can still see in the animal creation that they're afraid of mankind. Now, you can get them over this. We've domesticated dogs and cats and animals like that, and you can get them to where they actually like you and love you and just are glad to be around you. But I'm saying that naturally, there is a natural fear of man in the animal creation. And, you know, you can use this to your advantage. I've been in situations where dogs came out to fight me, and I know what the Word says, and I just get in their face, and I have backed dogs down and made them run down the street yelping. And some people think you can't do that. Well, it's because you don't believe that the fear of me and the dread of me is upon every beast of the field, and so you give in to it. Now, I'm not saying that this causes you to go out and just tempt God, jump into the lion's den just to see if it works. But it worked with Daniel. It can happen. If you can believe it, God can do it, and you can see this come to pass. In verse 3, it says, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. And he goes on and puts some other restrictions on it. But he just blessed them here. And you can go on through. Let me just take some of these quickly. In Genesis chapter 12, he said here unto Abraham, he says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Here again, God is speaking positive things over Abraham. These are blessings spoken by his words, and all Abraham had to do is believe. And sure enough, in this very chapter, Abraham went down into Egypt because there was a famine. And when he got there, his wife, she was 66 years old at the time. And yet, she was so beautiful that Abraham was afraid people would kill him in order to take his wife and have her to be their wife. And so he says, tell them that you're my sister. And as a result, Pharaoh took Sarah, Abram's wife, into his harem, and he didn't have relationships with her, but he was headed that direction. He was preparing her for it. And God intervened and told him that he was plaguing his house because Sarah was another man's wife. And my point is that Abraham was wrong. This was the wrong thing to do. Sometimes, again, when we read the Bible, we think it was a different culture. It's stated in kind of strange ways, and we just pass over it and don't think about it. But if I was to go over to one of these foreign countries that I travel to, and if I just was afraid somebody was going to try and kill me to get to Jamie, if they came out and, like, tried to attack her or something, and I said, hey, guys, help yourself. I've never seen that lady before. Whatever. And I just did whatever I had to do to save my skin and sacrifice my wife in the process, I guarantee you that would be a scandal, and rightfully so. That's wrong. I'm supposed to protect and defend my wife. Abraham was wrong, and yet who got rebuked? Not the guy who was wrong. But it was Pharaoh. Pharaoh hadn't done anything wrong. But it goes back to the blessing. He said, I will bless him that blesses you and curse him that curses you. Pharaoh was about to do something that would have hurt Abraham. And because of it, God came against him because he had a covenant. When he spoke something out of his mouth, this was a covenant. And he wouldn't violate it. And so he had said, I'm going to bless anybody who blesses you. And anybody who comes out against you, I'm going to come out against them. And so God did it. And even though Pharaoh was more righteous in this situation than Abraham, Pharaoh got rebuked because he didn't have this favor spoken over him. You know, likewise, the Lord has spoken over us that he would bless everything that we set our hand unto. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And there's just there's so many blessings. The whole Bible is full of blessings. God has spoken these things. Does that mean that you're always going to do everything right? Does that mean that every decision you make in business is always going to be the best decision? And see, sometimes people will get to thinking, oh, I haven't done everything right. I deserve whatever's happening to me. Well, Abraham deserved to be the one who was punished and the one who was rebuked, but he didn't get what he deserved. You need to get over this, and you need to recognize that once you're blessed, the blessing of God doesn't come into your life because you deserve it. It doesn't come because you're worthy. It doesn't come because you do everything right. God has just released favor. He has spoken his favor over you, and he said, I'll bless the work of your hands. Whatever you set your hand unto is going to prosper. And on the blessings go. And if you can believe it, you can receive it, even if you don't deserve it. Boy, that is a powerful truth. There are so many people that have this ingrained into them that you're only going to get what you deserve. And that is not true. God has never had anybody qualified working for him yet. God has never had anybody that deserves it. You know, I've lived a relatively holy life. Praise God. God touched my life when I was 8 years old. I have sought God my entire life. I've never done a lot of the things that other people have done. And some people think, well, boy, you're just holy. And God has blessed you and things are working for you because you live so holy. That is not true. I guarantee you. Matter of fact, there was a time in my life where it seemed like nothing was working. And you know what was stopping it? My trust in my own goodness. That was the very thing that stopped the blessing of God. Because I wouldn't receive it as a gift by faith. But rather, I was trying to earn God's blessing through all of the things that I did. And it was a turning point in my life when I found out that God didn't love me because I was lovely, but He loved me because He is love. And I just started receiving it as a gift. And any good thing that's working in my life, it's because I've learned to receive the goodness of God. I don't deserve it. Now, I cooperate with God, and I think there's things that we have to do. I think you can short-circuit the power of God. I'm not saying that your actions don't have consequences, but I am saying that Abraham was not the one who was rebuked, even though he was in the wrong, because he had a blessing spoken over him, that I'm going to bless whoever blesses you, and I'm going to curse whoever curses you. And he didn't put a qualification on it, as long as you didn't deserve that cursing. But if you deserved it, well, then I'm going to desert you and you're going to get what you deserve. No, the Lord just said He was going to bless Abraham and protect him, right or wrong. And you know what? God did. It came to pass. You know why? Because Abraham believed it. Well, I wish I had time to go through all of this. In the 13th chapter, let me just mention some things quickly. In the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis, Abraham came out of Egypt rich with hundreds and hundreds of slaves and cattle and sheep and camels. And he was just mighty and rich, but he was still with his nephew, Lot. The Lord had told him to leave his entire family. He didn't completely obey. He still had his nephew with him. But they became so prosperous that the land couldn't bear them. They all had flocks and herds, and there wasn't enough grass for both of them. And so Lot and Abram's servants began to strive with each other, and Abram came and said, "We're brothers. We shouldn't get into strife." And he says, "You just pick and choose. I'll give you the whole land. Here's this well-watered valley down around the Jordan where the water, where the grass is just lush. And here's the desert over here around Hebron. You just pick and choose. Which way do you want to go?" You know, the very fact that Abram gave Lot that choice says a lot. Abram had now experienced God's blessing on him. And even though he was wrong and Pharaoh was more right than him, God rebuked Pharaoh and not Abram. And Abram believed that he was blessed. He believed the promise that whatever he set his hand unto was going to prosper, that God was going to be with him and that he would prosper. And to prove it, here he is having to make a choice. Which way am I going to go? Abraham was the leader. He was the older. He was the one in authority. And he gave his nephew a choice. Pick either the desert over here where there's barely any grass or pick the well-watered area, whichever way you want to go. There was no question about what Lot was going to choose. And yet, Abram did this because he knew he was blessed. And he knew that you can give me the bad. You can give me the land that doesn't have as good a pasture and I'll still succeed. And sure enough, it came to pass. And as soon as Lot was separated from Abraham, then the Lord appeared unto him. Because now, see, he was closer to being compliant to what God wanted him to do. He told him to leave his father's house. Finally, when he got rid of everybody, even his nephew, then the Lord came to him and increased the blessing here in the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis. And I'm out of time today, but you can just continue right on through. And when God starts speaking these things over you, that is a blessing. That is His spoken favor. And He'll never withdraw it. All you've got to do is begin to believe it, and the blessings of God will manifest. I'm out of time today, but we will continue this teaching tomorrow. I encourage you to listen into our program tomorrow. And also listen as our announcer gives you information about how you can receive this new teaching on how to receive God's best.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Receive God's Best, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The third audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD titled The Blessing of God, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
Andrew would like to invite you to visit the website as he guides you through the second installment of the virtual tour. This time, come inside the future home of Charis Bible College. You can almost smell the new carpet.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th. He'll also be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 4th through the 6th, and in the New England area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 25th through the 27th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on July the 4th through the 8th for our Summer Family Bible Conference right here in Colorado Springs. And it goes through Monday night through Friday night, July the 4th through the 8th. We have children's ministry. We will have 3 hours worth of classes in our Charis Bible College in the mornings on Tuesday through Friday. And it's just going to be a great time for the entire family. It's a great time to be in Colorado in the summer. You'd love it. So it's going to be Monday through Friday, July the 4th through the 8th, the Summer Family Bible Conference right here in Colorado Springs.
While flipping TV channels in their home in Kathmandu, Nepal, Bob and Dawa Wesley stumbled across the Gospel Truth broadcast with Andrew Womack, and their lives were changed forever.
When I found out that how much God loved me and what He did for me, I started understanding the gospel, actually.
Desiring to fulfill God's call on their lives, Bob and Dawa moved to Colorado Springs and attended Charis Bible College. Then it was back to Nepal and back to work.
I started walking towards my office and I started seeing these two little boys, and their feet was cracked and, you know, their clothes were really, really dirty. I asked the Lord, "What do you want me to do?" And the Lord said, "Feed them."
With that direction from God, their ministry was born, feeding the destitute boys of Kathmandu, both physically and spiritually.
I've always focused on sharing the gospel with these kids. And it is only the Word of God that changes the lives of the people. It is only the gospel.
Another changed life, changing the world. Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College.